Praise the name of the Lord. As I always say, I don't have an accent, and I know you have an accent. So what you'll do, you'll deal with your accent. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, please, it's not bad to say, Paul, I didn't hear you. You know, I don't want to make noise. What I want is to communicate with somebody. So sometimes, and I'll pray that I'll not be excited, because sometimes when I'm excited, you cannot hear what I'm saying because you have accents. Now, the only thing is that God is a good God. How many knows how to deal with their peninas? What do you do when the trouble hits your life? Let me just sing a little song like this in my language. And this is Litiga Kuga Bavani Wega Tondone on Joey Mbele Oliangui Nida Sokia Gago Bele Aku Kugagani Wega Atulaga Auguo Nanya Dole Gizoka Gago Angolo Kenneth Niwaide Maro Amavata Makunyo Nelelia Jedaya Igolo Jesu ligeriguo nekugane wega todone waduide idaga liagolo baba dogola agia piage na oge gezera bololi. Praise the Lord. You know, if you have a debt of 3 millions and another person have a debt of 100, they are all debts. But the only difference is the volume. Yeah. Now, but if I am forgiven 1 million or 3 million debt, and you are forgiven maybe $5 debt, is the same. It's the same, because you don't owe me. That's why I say, maybe you had not gone through all these things that other people have gone, but you had something that you did which was not very right, and now God has forgiven you. So what you have to be is to be happy and that God has forgiven you. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me not use this one. Let me tell you the truth. I've enjoyed this camp. I have enjoyed this camp. It's not the orthodox type of camp. People are full of the Holy Ghost. People are seeking God. And one thing I noted is that Jesus is here. Amen. And do you know why I noted that? Is very few churches allow sinners to be free. And Jesus was a friend to sinners. And you know, if we can do that, then that's the best church that God... You know, some of us, we are so orthodox, even if Jesus comes today, we cannot let him in the church. I'm telling you this, we are so orthodox and programmed. Until even Jesus comes in this and just come and maybe try to get a fellowship, he cannot get, because we have our programs. So we don't want God to talk. We don't want Jesus Christ. What we need is to make sure that the program have gone as we agreed. But I thank God that we are not like that. You are speaking about dealing with drug addicted people, and I've been dealing with it about 1.5 years. My pastor, Pastor Venable, is a great man of God, and he talked with the pastor here, and maybe your pastor will come to our church there. But let me tell you one thing. I've dealt with drug addicted people in the program as a director of the program for about 1.5 years. But let me tell you, I know what they go through. One, they lie and they do everything to get money. Another thing, they even lie to themselves. They want to lie, to cheat themselves that I am okay. They know inside themselves, they know they are not okay, but they want to say, I am okay. Let me give a little of story that my big story all time. I don't want to go to that because I have a lot to say today, because the Lord has raised something in my heart. When all these things went and I was just chased out of the church, and for them that are familiar with the story now, and I was chased out of the church, and I've tried now going to try to get churches. One thing I did is to tell my wife, we have to get now away to get the true apostolic. You remember when I told you I invited people that were calling themselves apostolic. And that when I invited them, they came to the church. And then the elders called me, saying, man, Bishop, come here. And then, I can remember one who is my assistant. They fear talking to me sometimes. But one of them who is my assistant said to me, Bishop, with all due respect, and we do respect you, our guest, but they are not apostolic and we cannot allow them to step on the pulpit. So why do you say they are not apostolic? And you'll forgive me for this. Because the ladies were like, what will I say? I don't want to say this. Come on, God, give me a better way of saying it. You know, they had painted themselves. They had big nails, plastic nails. And they were blue here and green here and black here and here. You know, when they were standing like this, they were just like Christmas trees. You know, have you ever seen a Christmas tree? They were just like a Christmas tree. And they said, no way. We cannot allow these people in the church. Then I said, I don't know what I'm going. I called the senior man, the group leader. I said, you are my friend, and I didn't know that's how you are. But in this church, we are very strict. You know, they saw us all like we were about 600 in the camp, and they all had covered their head. They had long dress, just like my pen here, the ladies, and we cover until you all ladies. The dress must go up about three quarters of your hand, and all this was fine. But now you see, it was like they could not understand it, and I could not understand it, and we could not understand it. So everything was like mixed up. And then I just told them, we can go and see animals. So what we did, I took them to a tour, we went to see animals. And they flew back home. But they were ministers. Let me tell you, it's sometimes good to go further, as the minister was saying the other day. It's good not just to be in the what is written, but to be a step ahead of what is written. Well, what do I want to say that? You cannot hear the scripture saying that your dress must be 25 inches or 45 inches. But you have to do something that will let everybody know that you are different. That you are not the same that you are. But you have to be a different person. You know, in my country, when you marry and you are ready, you are a young girl and you are married, everybody knows on the way that you are married because of how you are behaving. Yes. And now, if we are married to Jesus Christ, then we have to have a difference, yes, with this world. Yes. I don't want to go to that deep that. But what I want to say that everything went very bad, and I took my wife here. I sent my wife here to just to try to get so that we can start now trying to get the really apostolic, because I had used all my time trying to get the apostolic. And my mind was telling me, Paul, I think you are wrong. Nobody who believes as you do said you are wrong. I said, but in me, there's something convincing me that I'm right. So what happened, I sent my wife here and she went to Maryland, as I said. And then sending her to Maryland, and then I spent some days in Kenya and then came back to Maryland. The first church I went was a big name apostolic. And then going there, it was just like a theater. My Jesus. Come on. I started telling my wife, I think we are wrong. Because this is apostolic. In, they are just as other churches. Even I tell you, even Trinitarian church sometimes, they are better than apostolic. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. Because when I went to Maryland, I see this, I say, no way. And somebody called me from Kansas, Wichita, Kansas, and said, oh, Paul, you are speaking about getting apostolic, which is very strict in apostolic doctrine. I have one here. And then I called the pastor. The pastor was saying everything was fine. But I went again and visited them in Wichita. You know, it took me with a bus about 3 days to Wichita. I didn't understand what is going on because the same problem was there. I said, yes, now I'm sure that we are wrong. If this is how the apostolic church is, that we are wrong. But still something was telling me, you are right. And you know what happened? Somebody called me in Los Angeles again. I said, Paul, you are very strict to apostolic doctrine. But we have a man here who is more strict than you. I said, I would like to see this man. Because, come on, I said, I'm not going to go there until I call him and ask him some questions. Because I'm tired of going, you know, getting money from people. I want to go somewhere. Please give me, even if it's $10. They give me $10, $10, $5 until I get the ticket to go and try to get the church. Now, this time I called somebody, and his name is Pastor Venable. He's in Bakersfield, California. Huh. I asked him a question. Let me ask you, Pastor. Do you ordain ladies to be ministers? He said, no. Okay, I said, that was a step. You know, because what I fear is that there are many apostolics now, the ladies are bishops and pastors. So I didn't want to make a mistake again. So I asked him again, do your ladies wear pants? You know, let me say that because that's what I asked. He said, no. Okay, that's another step ahead. Then I asked him, do you partake Lord's Supper? He said, yes, we do. How do you do it? And he explained how to make bread and then I ate with wine and all these things and they wash their feet. I said, my God, I have to see this man now. Because not very many people wash their feet. So I have to go to this man. Then I took my way to Bakersfield, California. And after that, we were there. I'm telling you, I've been enjoying to be with this man of God for all the days that I've been there. And he's a strict man. I'm telling you, he's strict than me. He's strict than me. You know what? We don't watch television. He said, don't watch television. Don't. Even sometimes it's hard to go to the... He always tell me, Paul, you're too much in the internet. I don't want you to go into the internet again. You know, all these things. And but I do good things in the internet and very good because that's how I came to meet this man of God. And I thank God that God have given us knowledge. You know what I read in the Bible history? When the Romans were making roads to transport their things and their ways, the apostles were using the same road to reach the unreached. So the internet is just like what? It's like those roads that were made by Romans so that we can reach them that cannot be reached. I thank God when we are preaching here, everybody is hearing. And I got the email today from Portland. And they said, you know what, Paul? We saw you talking in the internet. And I said, yes. And how many people are we reaching now? Yeah, just imagine. You are just seeing little people. You, how many people are you reaching? And that man have been with me until this time. But I think... as we agreed with the pastor, I'm going to make a good CD that I'll give the whole story from the beginning until the end. And then I will just release it and then God will do something. Because I have gone through many, many things. Getting apostolic. Let me tell you, mostly people who have not gone out of this country. I would like you to go out of this country. And if you don't know where to go, see me. I'll send you somewhere. You just see me. I'll send you to our churches. We have, let me say, the strong apostolic churches are 48, but we have 83. So I can send you to any of them. And be there for 1 month, 2 months if you want to. If you want 3 weeks, if you want 1 week. I can send even today if you want. Now, I'll just give you a letter and say, I have sent this man to this church. Just go with the truth, the whole truth. Don't carry a little, the whole truth. And if you go there, you are not really apostolic, they will know. Because they are with me. They have been with me. And you know what? They will tell you, you can eat ugali. Ugali is a good food, and fish. And then rest, and let us preach. Because they cannot get rest than apostolic doctrine. They cannot get rest. We have been getting garbages and all these things. But now, we are totally apostolic. And I'm telling you, we are going. Many people who want to go, you can just go to my email and email me, bishoppaulkenya@yahoo.com. And then, if you do that, I'll just send you to my country. I have a message today. I was just thinking of why things are very hard and why people cannot compromise, people cannot even come together. I just said, I think it's just because they don't want to forgive one another. Why families are broken? Because they don't want to forgive one another. Let us go to the Bible. Can we all stand, please, and read the book of Second Samuel 15 verses 12 and 13, if you can, please. Second Samuel 15 verse 12, and I read, and Absalom sent for Ahithophel. Can we say Ahithophel?
Ahithophel.
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 Yes. And Absalom sent to Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifice, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Can you read verse 13 with me? Somebody read 13.
And there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after.
Okay, today I want to speak, you can be seated please. I want to speak of a man and his name is Ahithophel.
Uh-huh.
Can you say Ahithophel?
Ahithophel.
It's sometimes very hard to pronounce it. But it is Ahithophel. I want to speak of a man that could not forgive. And his name was Ahithophel. He could not forgive. Let me give you a short story. This is said about, in America it's said, and in my country it's said. I don't know where it came from, but it's a story that you can understand. One man had a big, where they grow crocodiles, breeding crocodiles. It was big farm of crocodiles, very big. And what happened to this man? He was a billionaire. And everybody, including me, I want to be a billionaire. It's only that I don't have that. Now, because he was a rich man, he called some poor people from the street and said, you can be a millionaire today if you can just cross this water from here to that end. You can be a millionaire. And there were many, many, 20, 30 crocodiles, which were about 30 feet or 20 feet or 10 feet long. So when he was saying that, the crocodiles were just opening their mouth. You know how, I don't know if you have crocodiles here. Oh my, go to Africa, you'll see them. They can swallow a cow. Open their, they don't have tongue. They don't have time. They just swallow. No, that time it was opening the mouth like this and closing. Say, hey, who want to close here? There is 2 millions here now. Do you want to be a millionaire? Do you want to? Everybody say yes. But now, this can be yours if you just cross here into this water and to the other end. And when they were speaking like that, they were just speaking, somebody pushed somebody in. You know what happened? Before the crocodile think what is happening, the man was the other side. He just crossed. It was about 100 feet. He just crossed. And before the crocodile know what is happening, he was on the other side. And this man came to the same place and he wanted money. Bring my 2 million. No, the man asked, now the 2 million is yours. That man said, no. Wait. First, what I want to know is who pushed me in. I know the money can be mine. I don't mind that. But the only one thing I want to know, who pushed me in? Why do you think he was asking that? See here the seriousness of somebody throwing you in crocodile's den. Okay. He said, but there is 2 million here. I don't mind about 2 million. What I want to know is first, who pushed me in? Maybe he got it or not, I don't know. But it is very sad because that man could not forgive that man. Although he gave the man 2 million in his pocket, he still wanted to know who pushed him in. And to this time he's trying to get that man. But that man was silent because he knew what could happen to him. So sometime things happen and we don't know why. And this man pushed the other man, he got the millions. And you know, that's how sometimes we have to do to our neighbors and to our family, push them to get Jesus Christ, although they don't want it. Yeah. They don't want to. But sometimes we have to push them and get Jesus. And sometimes they don't want to. Like this, not very good. So there is a man here, and his name is Ahithophel. Ahithophel, if I can say, he was a counselor to David. He was a big man in government, in King David's government. And to become a counselor to the king is not something little. Come on, you just think the man that counsels your president here, do you think he's a little man? He sees the king whatever he wants, he can just walk in. How many of you here have God's shaking bush hand? And you are Americans. Yes. Oh, thank you. And you are American. So, if you are the counselor to the president, anytime you can go and shake hand. I want just to put to you that this man was a big, big man with fame in the garment. Verse 23, 2 Samuel, the same. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man has acquired as the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. So, you see, I want to get you this man, Absalom, as I am, Ahithophel, as I am introducing him to you. You didn't know where I'm reading? I'm reading the same, verse 23. Yes? 23. You see. Did you see it? And the council, 16:23. Can you read 16:23 maybe? 16:23? You get it now? Is that the place? Yes. Sometimes I just quote it. I don't know. It's right or not. But now, the Bible says, and the counsel of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if a man has acquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and Absalom. Let me introduce you something here. Absalom is the son of David. Many of us know that. And because he's the son of David, there comes something that we will just read after and see that Absalom was now to overthrow the government of his father. Ahithophel was who? A counselor. Now, I want you to get that first before we go where I'm taking you. Get that Absalom is David's son. And now, Ahithophel is who? Counselor. These two people are very close people to who? To David. Because as a son, you are very close to the father. And as a counselor, you are just next to the king. So, the Bible says that his words was as if a man has acquired from God. So this man was very smart. I'm talking of a man, his name is Ahithophel. This man was very wise and clever. So, if you are mentioned, like if you are in this country or any other country, and you are, say, a secretary of the state, you must be very smart here. You must be very smart. And this man was very smart. But something happened, and that's why you see in the book of Psalms 41, and verse 9, if you can read with me. Psalms. And if I'm excited, you don't understand, please tell me you don't understand. Psalms 41 and verses 9. Ahithophel was a very close friend of David. Verse 9. My own familiar friend. Are we reading here? Is it fine? Okay. My own familiar friend, in whom I trust, which did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Something happened with Ahithophel, which I'll tell you later. Something happened with Ahithophel and David. And now David is writing these Psalms concerning Ahithophel. And you go back to Psalms 55, and I think verse 13. But it was thou, a man, my equal, my great, and my acquaintance. Verse 14. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. My. Can you see this man? You know, what I want to bring you is to understand who Ahithophel was. So Ahithophel was a good, smart guy also going to the church. Because he said, we were going to the house of God together. So, he was a man who was smart and he was in the church. And Ahithophel was so close, a trusted man in the kingdom. Let me give you this. Sometimes nowadays, to get a trusted man is very hard. I give you my heart, and you go and share with another person, ruin me. Yes. Have you seen that?
I've seen it.
There are very many people who ruin people.
Amen.
I just, maybe something little me and my wife have happened, and my wife slapped me. I just come and tell you, you know what, my brother, pray with me because my axe is down. Them that were here when I was preaching about axe, just pray with me. And pray with me because, you know what, my wife slapped me, and I'm feeling very bad. Please pray with me. Oh my. You want to see Philip because you want to tell him. You know what, Philip? Paul was slapped by his wife. Now he's beating. He's always beaten like every day. Now you have started adding. Nah. One slap now is every day. Now, and then somebody, you know, Philip is from there to a new friend there. Oh, you know what? Mm-mm. I don't know what we are going to do. Why? My, Paul is divorcing his wife now. Why? Oh, that wife is beating him. Huh? He's like, every day now he's like, oh, this man is going to be killed by this wife. You know, from there it goes. So we don't have trusted friends nowadays. I don't know what we are going to do. But thank God we have one, Jesus Christ. And now this man, the Bible says that he was a trusted man. The Bible says in 49 that I trusted. Something happened. And if somebody can get a mic and read, very good, or I can just also read it. I don't know, I can read it. But something happened to Ahithophel. Now, this is the climax of the story. This is how you'll understand why something happened and make Ahithophel an enemy of David. And there is nothing which is bad in this world that we are living in as your counselor coming against you. There's nothing bad in this world when your doctor hates you. Yeah. He cannot operate me, man. Doctor is here. When the doctor is just even want to kill you and then say, operate me, you know, I'm sick. Can you operate me? Can you go to him? If you don't trust the doctor, cut you? Can you do that? So, what I want to say is that David and Ahithophel was very close friends, and they were eating the same bread. They were going to the house of God together. They were doing all these things together. But something happened. 2 Samuel 11. I may be reading a lot of scripture here because I want you to get the story. I know you know the story. Verse 1. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go for the battle, that David sent Joab and his servant with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Jeb. Yes. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. Let me say something here before I continue. You know, it was the king and the ark to go to the battle. But David stayed in the home. He did not go with the ark of the Lord. So he stayed home. Verses 2. That's when I have a message there now. It says, don't miss the fellowship. You'll get something else there home. No, I'm not there. And the Bible says, verse 2. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof saw a woman was washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after a woman. And one said, is that not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent a messenger, and took her, and she came into him, and he laid with her. For she was purified for her uncleanness, and she returned into her home. And the woman conceived, and sent to David, told David, and said, I am with the child. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah, if I say Uriah, you understand that? Uriah was come into him, David demanded of him how Joab did and how the people did and how they were prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mass of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of the Lord and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down into his house, David said unto Uriah, comest thou not from thy journey? Why then didn't thou not get down into thy house? And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servant of the Lord are encamped in the open field. Shall I then go into my house to eat and drink, and to lie with my wife, as thou liveth, and as thy soul liveth? I will not do this thing. And David said unto Uriah, tell here today also, and tomorrow I will let you depart. So Uriah abide in Jerusalem, and tomorrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk at every even. He went out to lie on his bed, and the servants of his Lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, send Uriah into what? Into the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smited and die. And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, and he assigned Uriah into a place where he knew that violent men were, and the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servant of David. Uriah the Hittite died too. See now, there is something here. Uriah was a faithful man with David. Because he did not want to go and rest to his house when the ark of the Lord and Joab and all Israel are in the field. So he said, I cannot do that. But here, Uriah was being tricked, because David knew what he had done. You know, sometimes we try to hide our sin, and we destroy and make a lot of damage because trying to hide our sins. See what happened here now. Uriah is killed. His wife is pregnant. And Joab received from King David that this man should be killed. Why was he being killed? Why? Because he did not go to lie with who? With his wife, and hide what David had done. I don't want to go to that, because that's not a topic today. But I have a topic. Why do you think David did all these things? He did it because he wanted to hide his sin. And because he knew, if everybody know what happened, it is shame. I remember there was a man, I don't want to say he was a pastor, but he was a big man. And this always happened. When you just, there's something happened and you tell that girl, you know what, you have to abort now. Because if this thing happened, I think everything will be wrong. And most senior people, I don't mind is in the church or in the garment. They don't want to be involved. So what they do is always say, people, you must abort, because things are not going to be very good. And if you read verse 3 with me, you can see, and David sent and acquired after the woman, and said, is that not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah's wife? Okay, let us go to 2 Samuel 23 and verse 34, because that's where we will understand the whole story and why I'm bringing this story. Verse 34, 23, 34, please. Elijah, it says, and Pharaoh, the son of Abishai. Do you get that? The son of the Machachite. Eliab, the son of Ahithophel, the Gunite. Okay. That's where I am now. Why did Ahithophel came against David?
Yeah.
Now see here. Eliam was the father of who? Bathsheba. And Eliam was the son of who? Ahithophel. Don't read it again. I wish I have a board because I always teach with the board. You will see, Ahithophel was the father of who? Of Eliam. And Eliam was the father of who? Bathsheba. And Bathsheba was the wife of who? Of Uriah. Come on. You get something now? See now. Ahithophel was a senior man in the kingdom of David. Eliam was a senior man in the cabinet of David. Because he is listed as that great man of who? Of David. So Ahithophel was a counselor. His son Eliam was a big man in the cabinet. And his daughter was Bathsheba. Now see what happened here. David went to Bathsheba, the granddaughter of who? Of the counselor. Come on. Why don't you get something here? Please get something. Okay, here is Ahithophel, a counselor, and his granddaughter is defiled by who? By the King David. What would you feel? Come on. What would you feel? Here is Ahithophel. Ahithophel, and he's the counselor. And here is Eliam, a cabinet member of the kingdom of David. Come on. One thing I always say here, I don't know why this lady went to the river. It's rare. Unless you are in Africa. Africa, ladies wash, they just go to the river and bath. Yes, they take bath at the river. And men take the other side. So they have like, this is where men take bath, and then the ladies take another place, so they don't come near. But I don't understand, one thing I don't understand, why did this lady just go to take bath at the river, just next to what? To King David's house. Why? This is to say that they were just living near. Because Ahithophel is the counselor. Eliam is who? The cabinet, one of the secretaries. So they are just near the parish. So now if they are at the parish, then this girl, Uriah's wife, went to take a shower. And he did not go to the house, he went outside. And you know what happened? David was asleep. When the other men are fighting, what's David doing? That's the danger of missing a fellowship.
Yes, sir.
That's the danger of missing a fellowship.
Yes.
If you are left at home when people are worshiping in the church, guess what you will see? I don't want to go to that because that's not the gospel. That's not the message today. But I want to show you that Ahithophel was a counselor to David. Eliam, his son, was a cabinet or a secretary to the state. And then Bathsheba was there. So when the news came to Ahithophel of what has happened, my, Guess what? Things went very bad. And he said, "My, I have to get this man out of the kingdom now. I have to get him. I will not forgive him. I'm saying this, I'm not going to forgive him. He have done." And I truly believe, it's not easy. Come on. Somebody to defile your son? Your daughter? Oh man. You don't feel good. You don't feel, even if you can forgive, you need the grace of God. Second Samuel 15 and that one. We are just there. 15 that one. I want to just... So, what happened here? Ahithophel now start coming against who? David. Because of what he have done. And you cannot tell me that even if you are an angel, you could feel bad. Yeah. Amen. You know, you cannot do this to my daughter. You know, granddaughter, most of us, we have grandchildren. I have grandchildren too. Amen. I love my grandchildren. I love them. They are part of my life. And when you do something wrong, I don't think that I can smile. Unless they, maybe more than me come, then I can smile. It's not me. Okay, 2 Samuel 15 and verse that one. "And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." Now here is David. If you go back, can we all rush? Let us go back to to Psalms 55 and visit that verse 1, please, so that you can, I can link that with this one. Psalms 55. Yeah, he's not preaching like a theologian, but I don't want to be a theologian today. Not in everything. 55 verse 1. What does it say here? "Give ear unto my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me and in wrath." You know what he's doing? He is speaking of what is happening now. In what? In Ahithophel and him and the whole country now who are against him. And if you read 51 verse 1 says, this is when David now was repenting. And this is what he said. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me through from my own iniquity, and clean me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is over of me." Now, you see what David is doing here? David is asking God for what? And God forgives David. But Ahithophel did not forgive David. What happened? David was forgiven by God, but Ahithophel did not forgive David. So what happened? They gave the controversy? No, what do you call it? Yeah, with who? With his son. And what happened there? Just got back to Samuel. I go like this. Don't mind, because I want to, something to be understood here. Hmm. 16 verse 1, verse 15 please. 2 Samuel 16. We can read some parts there. I want to just tell you how bad it is if you don't forgive. At the end, I'll show you why you have to forgive and why it's a must to forgive. Verse 15 says, Second Samuel 16, verse 15. And Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. And it came to pass, when Hushai, the archer David's friend, was come into Absalom, that Hushai said into Absalom, God save the king, God save the king. You know what? Now things have gone to, like everything is not going in order. And everything is not doing good. And if you read verse 21, it says, and Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go into thy father's concubine, which he has left to keep the house. And all Israel shall hear that thou art humbled of thy father. Then shall the land of all that are with thee be strong. You know, what now the counsel of Ahithophel is to ruin the kingdom of who? Of David. Just imagine your son going to your wife. Imagine that. And somebody who is smart, Ahithophel, a smart man, tries to tell Absalom, go to your father's wife. Samuel 17:1. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me choose out 12,000 men, and I will rise and pursue after David this night. Everything have gone what? Astray. Everything now is not going right. Everything is like mixed up. Because Ahithophel want David down. And because, why did he want him down? Ahithophel, granddaughter. Do you understand why he's mad?
Yeah.
And he's trying to tear out the kingdom of David because he cannot forgive. And he will not forgive. And David prayed to God. And you know what David did? God forgave who? I thank God that you understand that. God forgave the devil. But Ahithophel could not forgive David of what he did. Eliam, the father of the daughter, forgave David because he had no problem with David. But Ahithophel, the grandfather, did not forgive David for what David did. Somebody got it? And to cut the long story, because I cannot go to all the scriptures, you can go and read the whole book of 2 Samuel and see the story, but I'm going to the conclusion. But what I wanted to show you is that Absalom went to the city, and everybody was coming there, passing there by, and saying, I wish I was the king here. I wish I was the king here. And I could have done a lot of good things. You know, my father have no time with you. I wish I was the king, because I could give you all time you want. But you know what? My father cannot give you. No, he tried now to turn what? The hearts of people to himself. And that's what happened even in the church. The pastor is doing his best, and there's somebody who is rising there. I think there's something wrong. I wish I was the pastor. You know what? I wish I was a pastor. I could have done this to you, you know. This to you. Because the pastor is not doing very good now. I'm telling you, I wish I was the pastor in this church. I wish I was the pastor. Because, you know, do you remember when I was preaching? The shouting I was doing? It was from God. It was from God. You know, nowadays the pastor is... he's so weak today. I don't know what happened with the pastor nowadays. He's so weak. And I think, you know, when I was preaching, I was jumping like this. And, you know... when I was doing like this, the Holy Ghost was coming upon me. Was doing like that was the Holy Ghost. Do you know? The pastor was the whole, when the pastor goes there at the pulpit, he's just a simple man, and he's a simple man. Come on, why don't you think of starting a church? Because this man, I wish that man can come to me and tell him about starting a church. That's the conspiracy. Always go to the churches. And the same was David here. And now David had a lot of problems and everything was not going good. Okay, verse 21. Samuel 16. Let us go 17, verse 7. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel has given is not good at this time. Hushai was also a counselor. And Hushai was a friend. If you read that ministers or that secretaries to the kingdom of David, you'll get Hushai down here. He was a friend to David. And now, although everything was not doing good, Hushai called Absalom, the son of, and he said, you know what, brother? That advice is not good. That advice is not good. Don't go by that advice. And you remember, what was the prayer of David? Return his counsel to? Oh, Lord! That's one of the prayer. You know, when the pastor say, oh, God, I'm telling you, and you are coming against, you think that you have a lot, you are a theologian, you have degrees, that's very good. When the pastor turn to you and say, you are going to take care. Ahithophel was a good man, a very wise man. See, this man was a very wise man. But David prayed and said, do what? Turn his counsel to be what? Here is Hushai, and Hushai is telling Absalom, that's not good advice. Don't go by that. Can we read verse 14, please? Of the same book, 17. Verse 14. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai, the Archite, is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord has appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. Somebody understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, everything is like now turning around. And Absalom is now seeing that the counsel of Ahithophel, although he was so smart, he's not smart now. And Hushai, who was just a mere man, is now telling him, you know what? It's not right. Go verse 21. And it came to pass, after they were departed, that they came into out of the well and went and told King David and said unto David, arise and pass quickly over the water, for thus has Ahithophel counseled against you. You know, now there were information about how Ahithophel is counseling his son. And now they are after him and to kill him. Verse 23. This is now the bottom line of everything. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he suddenly his ass arose and got him home to his house, to the city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself, and died, and was buried, the sepulchre of his father. Come on. Can somebody understand that? Somebody who was wise. Somebody who was counseling the king.
Right.
Somebody who was very smart and counselor killed himself.
Right.
Why did the counselor kill himself? Because he could not forgive. Ahithophel could not forgive. For David had done very bad. It's true. He did wrong. It's true. It hurted him. It's true. It was bad. But when it comes to forgiveness, It doesn't matter what I have done. You have to forgive me. Let me ask here, who was hurt here? Is it David or Ahithophel? Who hurted himself? If you don't forgive, you'll kill yourself. You are not right with everybody. You have a lot of enemies. You have a lot of strife with people. You have a lot of pepe. And you have to see it. Simple. Let me ask you. I am very sure forgiving is not something simple. It's not easy to forgive. Truly, it is not easy to forgive. It is not easy. And that's why you see, even to this time, there is terrorism. Because there are people who are trying to put somebody down. And that is why you see a lot of strife in the government. Go to Africa. President and presidents are fighting day and night because they want to withdraw one another. Why? They cannot forgive. How many people are dying now because of unforgiving? I talked to a man one day. I don't want to say who, where, because I don't know who are listening. I don't know. I don't want to mention his name. I talked to a man, and I was just counseling him, and he wanted to kill himself. And he said he's not going to work anymore. He will never work. He will just be going eating in the free food and doing all these things because he can't work. I asked him, why don't you want to work? You know, the government is getting all my money. When I work, they get all about 30% of everything I'm working. They are not working. I'm working and they're getting. I cannot forgive them. Now you see, because of lack of forgiving, he don't want to work. Who is going to be punished? Who is going to, who is ruining who? You are ruining yourself. And he could not forgive. And that man died. A poor man in the streets. You know why? He couldn't forgive. You know, you have not forgiven people in your life. And they have done you very bad. Let me give you this story as I end. It's a sad story. There was a pastor. And that pastor, his name was Eric. He had some elders in his church. And when he was counseling people in the other room now, there are people coming in the church for their, they want to be counseled to their office. Now, one lady came to be counseled. She came to sit down just next to the pastor and said to the pastor, you know, pastor, I love you. That hit the pastor like. But you know, sometimes pastors and counselors, they know how to, you know, to defend themselves when it comes to that. So yes, yes, God loves you too. And I love the Lord, and I know you love the Lord too. And he was a sister in the church. And it came to pass that this lady knew, she thought that the pastor did not understand. And that lady just kneeled into the table and said to the pastor, can you kiss me? My. The pastor felt like, what's going on here? Is the hell with me? Said, sister, let us pray. No, this is not time to pray. Said, sister, please, don't do this. And the sister now stood. She came to the table around to the pastor. And now she was together with the pastor. The pastor pushed her and said, please, don't do this. She get her dress and tear it. And tear it. She starts screaming. She screamed and screamed and screamed. Now, there were people outside there, the secretary and everybody who were coming in. Oh, they ran in. They met the lady down. She was crying. What is happening? The pastor wanted to rape me. Ah, Jesus. And I'm telling you, when a lady is crying, everybody's sympathizing with her. Oh my, pastor, you cannot do this. And the pastor said, I have done nothing. And they said, no, man, don't defend yourself from nothing. See this lady, you torn her clothes out. She's now naked. Pastor, how can you do this? Pastor said, I don't know this thing. Now it was like a talk of the day. It's too late. Everywhere now, that everybody who is going out of the counseling room, and everybody is now shouting, crying and saying, you know what? Oh, the pastor was raped. You know, she was raped a girl. She was counseling and he wanted to rape a girl. He was called by the board of governors in the church. And he tried to defend himself, said I didn't. The lady came to accuse her, or to accuse him, you know, the lady that was accusing him. She came and said, I went there, had some problem of dreams and this, I wanted him to pray for me, and again, he wanted to kiss me, he just got me, and he was now touching my breast, and then he teared my blind or my no, he wanted to lie with me. And the pastor's wife was here at that time. My Jesus. The pastor's wife was looking to the pastor. Did you do that? Said, no, please, I have done nothing. I've done nothing. So the board of governors in the church decided to excommunicate the pastor and said, from now onwards, you will be somewhere sitting, waiting for what God will do. After about 1 year, the pastor had gone through a lot. In the streets, nobody wanted to talk to him. Everywhere he go, nobody wanted to talk to him. And everybody was saying, when they just meet, a rapist. Yeah, come on. Everybody, every church said, take care now of your children. There is Pastor Eric on the street. He will rape them. Every church in the street. My Jesus. After 1 year, everything cooled down. And he was to be called back to minister. He was called back to minister and said, God is good. I'm here. But I'm innocent. And he started preaching again. Because of the street, everybody know, there was a drug dealer somewhere who had another girl, and that girl was Alice. What they did, she got pregnant, and now she don't know what to do. She bring the child to Pastor Alex's church, to Pastor Alex's house, and put there with a big letter, this is the product of what we did with you. The trouble hit his life again in the church. Pastor Alex, you have not stopped this thing? Here is a child with a big list explaining that what? You fathered the child. You know, I was preaching one day, why do bad things happen to good people? Pastor Eric tried again now to defend himself. I don't know this. You know, in Africa we don't have these like testing, like gene testing like this. We don't have them. We don't have them. And if you can, then you'll have a lot of money to send it to Britain and they do it and then take back, which will be like. The pastor said, I don't know these things. But they said, you have to get this child now. Now, the child was given to the pastor's wife to nurse. Now again, the problem hit him again. Now in the house, the wife is asking, Now you see what we are doing? Pastor Eric is saying, no, I've done nothing. But he said, come on, it's not everybody saying about you, and you are saying you have done nothing. Is all these people your enemies? You did it. I have done nothing. The Board of Governors met again, said Alex, thank to God, we will never have you in this church again. You have been very bad now, and you have ruined this church. Pastor Alex said, I thank God that I've done nothing until this time. And he was chased out of the church. The father of the wife of the pastor came and said, you are a rapist, you cannot be with my child. He got the wife and the children, went with her. And you know what? My Jesus. Now, here is Alex the pastor with the kid that he fathered. And he was left with the boy now. The church was paying the house and everything. Now, he don't have, nobody's paying the house. He knows nothing except preaching. And now he cannot preach because his life is damaged. Right. And somebody did this intentionally. Now here is Alex. He went to another city where he's not known. But where could he start his life? He don't know nothing to do. He only know to preach because that's what he has been doing all the days of his life. What happened? He went to a park and sit down. Another lady was just driving. The Spirit of the Lord talked to her and came to Alex. What are you doing here with a little baby? He said, my, it's a wrong story. I don't know where to start. It's a wrong story. Can I welcome you in my house? She said, yes, please. Then they went to the house. They sit down. He gave the story from the first one to the last one. And he asked, the lady asked that man, is it not true you did that? He said, I have done nothing. Now, what do you have to say about these people? May God forgive them. Because they have damaged my life for nothing. May God forgive them. And now, they stayed for about 2 months. And he was introduced to the pastor of that lady. And being introduced to the pastor of that lady, what happened? The lady and the pastor started now, Pastor Alex started preaching to what? To the church. Preaching, and the miracle of God started now pouring down. The healed people. You know, I can remember, he just touched the eyes of a blind man, and that eyes opened like this. So the Lord just put him up again, and he was like having very good, you know, time in the church. And it was very good. And the pastor said, if the Lord have said that you are a good man, who can say you are a bad man? Can you assist me to help me raise this church up? And the church had only about 10 people. When that man was healed, the blind man was healed. I'm telling you, people from the streets just are coming now again. Coming. There were about now 2,000 people in the church. And the miracles are working like this. Miracle after miracle. I'm telling you, he preached one message. And it was in a tape. And I hope that my daughters can send me this whole this tape. And it's a true story. So, when he was preaching, he said, if you don't forgive your enemies, God will never forgive you. Now, he said, all these people, if they want to turn to God, I hope they turn to God and know that God saved people. You know what he did? Another, about 2 years, the elders of the first church came looking for him. He had traveled and traveled now to the whole state. He's a well-known man. Went all over preaching the gospel. Came to that man. They came to him. And they met him. He had a very good house that the church now have prepared for him. It was a beautiful, so just like a parish, very beautiful place. Now he was relaxing there, just worshiping God. Hallelujah, God, you are good. And now he don't even remember about the wife. Now he wants to deal with God because nobody can understand him. And you know what happened? The elders came. Sit down. Then he had even forgotten them. You know, sometimes when you forgive, you forget. Yeah. Now, these people came and they were there. And they said, I know you still remember us. Can you remind me? Okay. Oh, you are so-and-so. Yes, you are so-and-so. They are the same leaders of the church. Said, we are coming to look after you because there is somebody want to talk to you before she died. Who's that? The first lady who said that the child is his, now she got sick in the leprosy. You call them leprosy, the one that cuts, not AIDS, leprosy. That cuts the parts of the body. Yeah, parts fall up. Now the girl is dying. When they were speaking, the father of the girl called the cell phone of the elder here, said that the girl had died. And this was a big story because the lady told the truth. And she said, when I did this, it was not true. It was me. And I did this to a man of God. And I know I'm dying. I don't want to die with this sin. I want him and everybody to know that I'm so sorry for what I did. But it's too late. But you know what? When he heard that, that man cried and he was flat on the floor crying, worshiping God and saying, God, I thank you very much that even to this time, the truth can be known when I am still alive. When they were still there, some people came, those people went and buried his person, and another one came looking for him. The lady that had a child, and you know what? The child is there. The man, this pastor still has the child, but is being taken care of by the child now. And now everything is doing good with the child, and now he's a big boy now, he's about 4 years now. And everything is doing good. The mother of the child came with the husband. And he said, we're just looking at you. They first went to the church where he was. And he talked to the ministers. Because he wanted to make, you know, to make straight things. And they said, when I said about the child, it was not true. It was somebody's elder child. But because everybody knew pastor as a rapist, I just tried a way out because my parents could not allow me to have the child. And that's why sometimes in the church you have to use the Spirit of God to divine all things in the church, not what people are saying.
Right.
And sometimes we go astray, we go out of God's will because we don't want to hear from God, we want to listen to people.
Yes.
Listen now. When they came to the pastor, or to the church, and then they were transferred to go to this man, and they prayed, this man, and that man hugged the lady, the pastor hugged the lady and said, if you can speak the truth, God has forgiven you. But I had forgiven you before.
Praise.
Now see what God can do to your life if you can forgive.
Amen.
And see what your life can be if you cannot forgive. Ahithophel could not forgive David. And he killed himself. Because he could not forgive David of what he did with Bathsheba. And God forgave David. Now see this man. innocent. He could not even defend himself. But he forgave. And he said, I cannot defend myself. I can do nothing to defend myself. But one thing I know. He forgave them. David was a victim. Because he had sinned. But he prayed. And God forgave him. Now, Ahithophel is a victim of not forgiving. Ahithophel hanged himself. Why did he hang himself? Because he could not forgive. See, now the cost of not forgiving is great. It's only that the eternity will reveal how many suicide and that can be directed to not forgiving. The eternity can reveal to that. Ahithophel refused to forgive David. It's true that David sinned against God. He divined his daughter. He killed his son, his grandson-in-law. It's true that David fractured the friendship between him and Ahithophel. That's true. He hurt him deeply, a most trusted man. Ahithophel had hard time with David. And it's true, and to this time, that it's very hard to forgive when some people have done you like this. I don't blame Ahithophel, because it was real. It was real. And it was so deep. Ahithophel is only to be blamed for not forgiving, joining conspiracy against David, and wanted also to kill David. And you see what? Ahithophel hold grudge between him and who? And David. Now the question is, who did Ahithophel hurt? Who did he hurt? When you cannot forgive, you hurt yourself. You hurt nobody. He did not try to get peace with David. The last scripture that I can read is in Hebrews 12 verse 15. You'll hurt yourself if you don't forgive. Amen. I'm talking to somebody today. Yes. If you don't forgive, you'll hurt yourself. Yes. Forgiveness comes from God. Yes. Doesn't matter what I've done to you. Doesn't matter what he has done to you. The only thing is forgiving.
Right.
What does it say? Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring upon trouble you, and thereby many be devoured. The root of bitterness. I know, like me, you have heard about my story. I'm telling you, I had a lot of problems with pastors.
Yeah.
And they have been coming against me and fighting me a lot and saying everything about me. Uh-huh. And you know what? I forgive them.
Sure.
Because I want to go ahead.
Yeah.
And now, I know, maybe even now, you're not in the same church that you got saved. Right. And there was a reason why you left the other church.
Right.
And now, I don't mind what the pastor did to you. But my worry, did you forgive him?
Did you forgive? Hallelujah.
If you did not forgive him, then I'm telling you, you'll hang yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
It is true that Ahithophel was hurt.
Right.
It's true that David sinned. But it was not right for not forgiving.
That's right.
It was wrong for not forgiving.
Wrong.
How many people now will kill themselves for not forgiving?
Oh God.
How many people have ruined their life for not forgiving?
Right.
How many people that have faced danger for not forgiving?
Jesus.
Yes, sir.
In our country, we have some large tribes and some little tribes. My tribe is the largest in Kenya. Very big. And we are just like the people that gave the presidency because of the votes. The little tribes sometimes fight us. If you have been going through the mails, you can know that I'm telling you, there is a lot of clashes.
Yes.
Because you killed my father.
Yeah.
I'm trying to kill your father too.
Yeah.
You killed my wife. I'm trying to kill your wife too. You know, that's like a revenge.
Right.
And grudge. That will not lead you to nowhere.
No.
You are just going to kill yourself. Because if you just let it go.
Let it go.
You'll be with peace with
everybody. That's right. Let it go.
When you let it go, you just save yourself and save other people.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Why we don't forgive? It's just because we don't know Him who forgives.
Praise God.
If you know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for our sins.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm telling you, you can forgive.
Amen. You can do it.
Every married man here. You are with your wife because you know how to forgive her.
Try.
I'm telling you that. I'm married. Every married man knows that. If you cannot forgive your wife, I'm telling you, you have all reason of divorcing her today.
Yeah, might as well go ahead.
I'm telling you, you have all reason of divorcing your wife. Because what did she do? She didn't give me water today.
Uh-huh.
She didn't prepare me coffee today.
Yeah.
She, you know, I saw her talking with another person.
Yeah.
I didn't know what they were saying. You have all good reason.
Yeah.
But because of forgiving,
yes,
you are together to this time.
Yes, staying together.
You may not be a very good man. You may not be a very good woman. But because of forgiving, you are together.
Thank you, Jesus.
Unforgiving spirit is ruining the church today.
Praise God.
It's killing the church today. Finishing the churches today because of unforgiving.
Right.
True.
Let us have an event of forgiving today.
Yes.
Let us make this place that from today and now we are going to start forgiving one another.
Help us to forgive, Jesus.
Because even if you don't forgive, you'll hurt yourself.
Yes.
You're not going to hurt anybody else. Can we all stand, please?
Thank you, Jesus.
I know. And it's not something very new. You have somebody in your heart that have ruined your life. Somebody who have touched your heart. Somebody who have done something wrong to you. Somebody who said it's no good. Or somebody who comes against you all the time. You have him in your life. In your working place too. You have these people that comes against you. In your place of life. When you go day and night job, you know, whatever you do. There is only one thing. I know you have somebody who is just like your Penina. Who fight with you day and night. One thing. If you want to spare your life, hallelujah, learn how to forgive. Hallelujah. The altar is open today.
Yes.
For anybody who just like one say, God, I know.
Jesus.
I have somebody in my heart that I have not forgiven. And I would like to have your grace today that I can forgive. I can forgive today. Father, I pray that I can forgive. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Oh God, I pray that
Jesus.
We have the spirit of forgiving now. We know, God, we cannot forgive without you.
Help us, Lord.
We cannot do it without you, Lord Jesus.
Help us, Lord.
You forgive the whole world. And they came against you, Lord Jesus. And you forgive them. They did all what they did to you. You forgive them. Let us have the same spirit, the same heart of forgiving.
Hallelujah.
Remember us, God, into your kingdom.
Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Let us just bow our heads and pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you.
Hallelujah. Amen. We've heard the word of the Lord today. Amen. Why don't we all assemble ourselves? This is not a strange message. Hallelujah. We have to deal with it every day. Come, whosoever will, let's come and pray. Praise God. Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's call on God.
Lord Jesus.
We want to be perfect. Like our Father. Hallelujah.
Amazing grace.
Oh, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Today,
yes.
Hear the word of God.
Yes.
I just want everybody here to know that God loves you.
Amen.
Church loves you too, no matter where you're coming from.
Wonderful, Jesus.
Amen. What you look like. Amen. We're glad that you're with us.
Amen.
Praise God. He's a God of care and concern.
Amen.
Brother Rutledge.
Thank you for that outstanding message there, brother. Praise God. I got a lot of things today out. I had to listen close because there's a, you know, difficulty in some language barriers, but yet the message was deep.
Yes.
Strong.
That's right.
And I'm going to study it again because I learned some things and I appreciate it. Appreciate it so much.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And the next service is tonight at 6 o'clock. And we started this meeting, had it scheduled, but it got started almost a week early. We're just loving it, wearing ourselves out. And it doesn't seem to have an end. And that's good.
Amen.
6 o'clock tonight. Thank you all for coming, Brother Willis. Amen. That's two times we've held you a long time. Next time I'll try to make it shorter. Oh, another thing, too. We're getting too spiritual for that because I forgot to take the offering. And don't take that as that we don't need it. Last night we received an offering, and Brother Bradley was receiving it, and Brother Joe was praying. Everybody had their eyes closed, and he just walked by everybody with her. How convenient. Amen. So today we'd like to ask you for an offering before we leave. Amen. Brother Bradley, walk by one more time. Make sure everybody has their eyes open this time. God bless you. And thank you for coming. And thank you for being here. See you tonight at 6. Amen. Praise God. Bring the offering right here. I want to make sure that we get an offering tonight, today. Amen. Right here, brother. Thank you. No, that's not all of it. Go on.